Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Rai Way 9 months 2017 results analyst conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask a question. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giancarlo Benucci, Head of Corporate Development and Investor Relator of Rai Way. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to all of you, and thanks for joining our results conference call. As usual, I'm here with Aldo Mancino, CEO, and Alberto Pellegrino, CFO of the company. Let me now hand the call over to Aldo. Please, Aldo, go ahead.
Thank you, Giancarlo, and good afternoon to everyone. Let's start with an overall picture before going into more detail on our key metrics. The first 9 months of this year show once again our solid performance and quality of execution, confirming the trends of 2017 with the contribution from new services to Rai proceeding in line with our expectations. In particular, the new Rai government service agreement will be an important key to drive future activities in terms of network reorganization and extension. As far as the approval process is concerned, everything is proceeding and the draft has recently received the preliminary green light by the Rai Board of Directors, and the final signing is still expected by the end of the year or beginning of next year. Then we have successfully confirmed our outstanding operating profitability, which is now close to 55%, the clear evidence of the benefits we are getting from our focus on efficiencies. Based on this trend, we reconfirm our adjusted EBITDA guidance for the full year, while slightly revising our forecast on the maintenance capex level, now expected for 2017, below the long-term target of 85% of revenues. Moreover, as you all know, our sector is and will be exposed to a number of potential evolutions, starting with the spectrum reorganization process, which we are monitoring closely. As you may know, the reallocation of 700 MHz band must be completed by mid-2022, and by mid-next year, the detailed roadmap of the process should be ready. For sure, the impact for us and for the system will depend on the technical solutions and standards that the government will decide to adopt. And this will impact both the number of multiplexes and the effort in terms of investment to implement the new spectrum and network configuration. Of course, we have already started to make some internal considerations about the possible scenarios, but it's too early to have clearer ideas on that. What we do think, though, is that thanks to our unique business model, whatever the final configuration will be, Rai Way will have new activities and will help sustaining the business. Let's look in more detail at our performance in the first 9 months, moving to slide number five. Starting with core revenues, we have reached 162.1 million euros, 0.5% higher than the same period last year, as a result of increasing revenues from third-party customers, up 1.8%, and revenues from Rai broadly flat. And then moving to operating profitability, we have again successfully improved both adjusted EBITDA and margin. That is definitely a good performance and further evidence of continued progress executing our industrial plan. Adjusted EBITDA increased to 89 million euros, 2.9% higher year-on-year, thanks to higher revenues, 0.8 million euros of non-recurring other revenues, and to a satisfactory 1.5% year-on-year reduction of operating costs. Our adjusted EBITDA margin is now close to 55% compared to 53.6% in the 9 months of 2016. Now moving to the bottom line, we can see the remarkable growth of net income, up 35.3% year-on-year at 44 million euros. That has been driven by several factors. Firstly, lower one-off expenses. Second, the reduction of D&A, and finally, a lower tax rate. Now regarding CapEx, the investment have amounted to 14.5 million euros, 9.5 million euros related to development initiatives and small M&A, and 5.1 million euros to maintenance CapEx. Looking at net debt, it has stood at 16 million euros versus 9.5 million euros last year. The increase is mainly due to dividend payment, investment in external growth, and usual seasonality of net working capital. Apart from this, cash flow generation remains solid, with cash conversion very strong at 94.3%. With this, I'll hand over to Adalberto to run through the detailed financial results.
Thank you, Aldo. Good afternoon to everyone, and good morning to those connected from today. Let's go to slide six. You have just heard from Aldo some highlights of the good set of numbers we are presenting today. Let me now provide you some more details on the main trends of our financials. Starting from core revenues. Overall, in the first 9 months of the year, our core revenues grew 0.5%, reaching 172.1 million euros. This performance has been mainly due to revenue from third parties, up 1.8% at 26.3 million in the first 9 months of 2017. This is because of the contribution from the Norba deal and the growing volumes from the fixed wireless access players. Both of them, let me say, also very much in line with the trends already discussed back in July, when we discussed the first half results. Revenue from RAI were broadly flat at 135.8 million euro. As usual, made of the fixed consideration that amount 132.4 million euro, and new services at 3.3 million euro, up 3% vis-à-vis last year figures. In making this comparison, you should take into account that the 9 months 2016 benefited from about 1 million one-off, mainly related to cyclical events like the European Football Cup and Rio Olympic Games, while the 9 months 2017 had only the services for the G7 summit that we held this year in Italy, in Taormina. Stripping out those one-offs, the increase is much higher in the range of 40% and is mainly driven by the HD channels broadcasting on satellite platforms and the ongoing activities for the upgrade of the contribution network. Notwithstanding, as of today, the Italian CPI is in the range of 1%. Let me remember that 2017 revenues are not impacted by the Italian CPI since it was close to zero in October, November last year, that is the relevant period for the indexation of our revenues. Let's go to the following slide on OPEX, where you can see the benefits from the efficiency initiative were in place. In the 9 months, the total operating expenses amounted almost 74 million euro, of which 33.6 refer to the personnel cost and 40.3 million euro refer to other operating expenses. Looking at the first ones, if you exclude the extraordinary items, the 0.8% reduction you see on the slide would increase to approximately 3%. And this is thanks to the benefit from the early retirement plan and the optimization of the variable components of the salary that we launch and we have in place. In this slide, you can also see how the workforce at the end of September amounted to 585 units, less than 625 in 2016, even including the impact of the acquisition of Swede Engineering, which brings the overall number at the end of September to 594 units. Then other operating costs amounted 40.3 million euro vis-à-vis 41.1 million last year. And this is due to both a favorable comparison with the first 9 months of last year figures that were affected by the one-off costs related to the already mentioned cyclical events linked to the new services provided last year to RAI. And second, this is due to a lower level of prior year adjustment. Without considering those extraordinary effects, recurring OPEX confirmed the improving trend with efficiencies on intercompany costs with RAI and on rents that more than offset the higher cost for energy. Let's now jump to slide 8, looking at the profit and loss down to the net income. You can see the tailwind from the other revenues at 0.8 million euro compared to 0.1 million last year. And this was mainly due to some compensation we received in the last months. Then, as already commented with the first half results, the one-off cost mainly related to the incentives paid to the employees as part of the early retirement plan were 3 million lower than in 2016, when the cost of the plan has been mainly accrued. So, as a consequence of this, the EBITDA is much closer to the adjusted EBITDA, and it amounts 88.5 million euro in the first 9 months of the year. Below EBITDA, D&A amounted almost 25 million euro, 24.9 to be precise, with a reduction of about 7 million compared to last year, in line with our expectation, and as you may recall, due to two main components. First one, the end of depreciation period of the CAPEX accrued during years of the switch off from here to migrate from the analog to the DVD platform. And secondly, to the extension of the useful life of certain assets with a new depreciation rate. Since, let me remember, this was applied in the last quarter, in December 2016, with a retroactive impact from the 1st of January 2016, the first 9 months figures of 2016 did not include yet this positive impact. As concerned the second component only, we do expect the gap to be recovered in the fourth quarter. Financial interest continue to benefit from the reduction of our gross debt, and taxes are only 1.7 million higher than last year, notwithstanding a pre-tax profit some 13 million higher. And this is because the change in the IRES tax rate from 27.5% to 24% that we already commented in the previous call. All this led to a net income at 44 million euro, with a 35% increase compared to the same period last year. And importantly for us, even comparing the net income recorded in the first 9 months of this year with the one recorded in the full year 2016, there is a growth of 2.2 million euro. or alternatively 5.3%. Let's now go to the following slide 9, on cash flow, the cash flow generation, and the net debt figures. So, at the end of September, our net debt was €16 million, up €7 million from the €9 million recorded at the end of 2016. Overall, as usual for us, during the third quarter, we recovered from the dividend and the tax payment that occurred in the second quarter. And as far as the CapEx are concerned, the overall investment in the first 9 months reached €14.5 million. And of course, this number includes the impact of the equity value of Sud Engineering for approximately €7 million. Without this, operating CapEx are lower than last year, mainly in the maintenance component. Balance sheet, slide 10. Our net invested capital amounted to €180 million, €9 million higher than at the end of 2016 due to the net working capital cycle, mainly related to tax and trade receivable. And with that, I will hand back over to Aldo to go through the outlook for the full year. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation, Adalberto. In conclusion, we can confirm that our 2017 outlook is in line with our target for adjusted EBITDA. Instead, our 2017 forecast for maintenance CapEx is now below the long-term target of 8.5% of core revenues, more in the range of 7%. Going forward, maintenance CapEx level is, however, expected to remain on average around long-term targets.
Okay, thank you, Aldo. So we can now start with the Q&A session.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Fabio Pavan with Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my question and congratulations for the results. Just one from my side. During the second quarter conference call, you were confirming potential interest for Persidera as an interesting asset. As we have learned from press that apparently the disposal process for this asset has started, I would just willing to know if you can confirm that this remains a potential interesting asset for you. Thank you very much.
Hi, Fabio, and thank you for the question. In particular, on Persidera, no comments from our side on status of the process. At this stage, we can just confirm that what already commented in the past, our interest in the asset and the necessity to find a structure that fits with the current regulatory environment.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ricard Bojada from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my question. If I go back to what my previous colleague has asked, can you please remind us why it makes sense for you to acquire Persidera and to talk about what sort of structure could a deal have? And then secondly, we've seen that the corporate tax rate, the effective corporate tax rate this year has remained around the 29% stake, 29% level. Should we expect this 29% level to be the right effective tax rate going forward, or is it a different one? And then finally, when will be the you mentioned that the CPI will be set in November. Does any of your contracts have the CPI escalation earlier or later than that point? Thank you. On the cost side, thank you.
Hello. Let's start from your last question on CPI. The most important part of our revenues are linked to the CPI that is set in November. The residual part that is mainly linked to the CPI that is going to be set in the month of October. Then your question on corporate tax rate. Let me say that these are the figures that we recorded in the first 9 months give a proper level of what could be our run rate level. You have just to consider that there could be some seasonality in the tax adjustment. You may see, for example, the quarter recorded, the last quarter of last year, where the tax rate was quite higher vis-à-vis the previous quarters. So let me say, this is the figures recorded in the first 9 months in terms of tax rate are a good proxy, could be a little bit higher by the end of the year.
And about the rationale procedure for us, I can confirm that it's an interesting opportunity for us. It would be consistent with our industrial plan target of increasing the number of managed multiplexing, so improving market positioning, and would also offer rooms for some efficiencies, in particular leveraging on our assets, so infrastructure and personnel, and also in terms of network rationalization. But on the other hand, keep in mind that the current regulation set a cap of 5 multiplexes at group level, and this puts some limitations in terms of structure and in line with our business model.
And thanks for the caller. Just to follow up on the last one, can you please make some comment about where you stand in this process? I mean, I know that Telecom Italia is trying to initiate this to kick off the sale process, and there have been a few number circulated in the press regarding the structure of the process, whereby also private equity bidders could be coming in. Could you confirm or deny that you would be partnering with a financial sponsor here? Thanks so much.
Richard, we cannot confirm or deny. Just no comments from our side on a process that is not in our hands.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Shah Perrin with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. It's Perrin Shah, Bank of America Merrill Lynch. I've got three questions. The first one, so in terms of the 700 megahertz spectrum, obviously there is a risk of potentially a multiplex being lost. Is there any way of indicating what level of risk there is to your revenue profile should this happen? The second question is just on the extension of multiplexes 2, 3, and 4. Is this something that you have now agreed? Is that what we are meant to read into the statements on the key messages slide, or is this yet to be agreed? And the third question, the cost profile, I guess, is the main reason why the EBITDA is beating in the quarter. How do you think about cost evolution going forward? So I'm guessing the headcount is pretty much at the lowest levels that it's going to be. The other operating costs clearly benefiting from year-on-year comps. Is this kind of sustainable level of the OPEX base, or should we consider that this could reduce further somewhat? Thank you.
So about the allocation process of 700 megahertz, we can confirm the time frame of the reallocation of 700 megahertz band that must be completed by mid-2022. And the roadmap of the process should be available by, I say, mid-next year. So discussion on the topic have already started. Despite currently there are, as you know, six national multiplex on the band, on the 700 bandwidth, megahertz bandwidth, it's likely that all the network operators will be impacted by the reorganization of the spectrum, and that the final number of national multiplexes and transmission capacity in the system will also depend on the technical solution that the government will adopt. So in terms of course, of technology, DVB-T or DVB-T2 encoding standards. Although we expect a reduction in the number of multiplexes managed by us, consistently with our business model, alongside the low activity currently devoted to the fifth multiplex, the process will require new activities for a day. This is in terms of technology upgrade, network rearrangement, extension of coverage, and so on. And that will help sustain our business, whatever the final configuration will be. But as you say, it's too early to elaborate on numbers. Again, the second question about the extension of multiplexing number 2 and 3, we can say that we have proposed to RAI, we have submitted to RAI a proposal for the extension of the multiplex number 2, 3, and 4. But of course, in this stage, RAI is awaited the final negotiation of the RAI contract between RAI and the Ministry of Economic Ministry before they sign the closure. But to some, the finalization of the contract is taking, I say, a bit longer than expected, mainly to this external factor. But we confirm our strong relationship with RAI. We can say also that, but indication coming from the service agreement in terms of focus on network quality and extension go in the right direction. So,
the last question regarding our cost basis. Looking at year-end figures, last year we closed with a total OPEX, including personnel, of 104.3 million euro on a yearly basis, of which 46.6 personnel and 57.7 from other operating expenses. For this year, of course, we expect to be able to keep the saving we record in the first 9 months. And of course, as it's quite evident, if you give a look to the number of employees, that is quite low vis-à-vis the figures last year, we should expect some more saving on the personnel cost. Having said that, in the long term, then we should expect some increase coming from the energy cost, that is our most important cost, and actually I hopefully expect that we will have this impact, because if we will have an increase from the energy cost, this would mean that we will have also a positive impact in the Italian CPI, that as of today was low, mainly due to the trend of the energy cost. And our target, consistently with our industrial plan, is to keep more or less constant the cost basis that we reach, that we have as of today, with the exception that I mentioned, and also with another accession that could come from the new project from RAI, and also the project related to the extension of the coverage.
That's very clear. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Albert Sprenger with Kempen. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Gentlemen, I have a question touching back on the acquisition of Presidra. As you rightly mentioned, there is a limit of 5 MUXes per holding, and you mentioned that you could look at the structure of how to potentially implement something like that, a transaction in that matter. I'm really curious how you would envisage to do something like that, because your colleagues at EI Towers clearly mentioned that as they were managing 5 MUXes that they were not able to engage in the process. I'm very curious how you could potentially do that. Then on OPEX, you indicated in the presentation that indeed personnel expenses went down by -3%. However, total personnel expenses were only 0.8% lower. Can you explain me the elements that are missing here, or the one-offs you see? And then lastly, how much OPEX savings on personnel could we expect going forward? Thank you.
Albert, on Persevera, let's say that there are some options that we are reviewing, but at this stage we prefer not to give details on these options. Obviously, the final target that we have is to keep the multiplexes outside our scope, our perimeter, according to the current regulation. That's all we can say as of today. And in terms of our personnel cost, yes, if you see our reported figures, we have a change in the personnel cost of 0.8%. What we mentioned is that there are some extraordinary items that impacted on the personal cost, and these are mainly related to, of course, the impact of sub-engineering. Let me remember that we acquired this company that had 9 employees, and so you will see the impact of the cost of the personnel. Of the personnel of Sud Engineering in the 33.6 million of cost that we are reporting. Of course, last year we didn't have this impact. And then, a part of Sud Engineering, there are also a lower level of the personal cost that we capitalize, and also a different level of prior year adjustment. So, without considering all these extraordinary items, the personnel cost declined by approximately 3%. And in terms of guidance for our personnel cost, we don't provide precise figures for this cost, but let me be qualitative in order to give you an answer. Of course, we, as you may see from the slide 7, there is a progressive reduction trend of our account, and this means that keeping the same figures as of today, 2018 figures for sure will be lower than the figures we will report at the end of 2017, but we expect to increase in order to have the proper figures to have the proper understanding of the trends of our personnel cost. We have to take into consideration that the 585 units plus 9 of civil engineering should be increased because according to the plan that we launched to reduce the number of our personnel, as of today, something more than 60 people left the company, and we expect to hire some new figures, some new units in the following months. So let's say we should expect more or less other 20 persons that will be employed in the next month.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Oriana Bastianelli with Kairos. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon to everybody. Back to the refarming process. Basically, do you think that a refarming process can be managed by having two different towers operator in Italy? And when looking at the roadmap of the process, and again from an industrial point of view, when the shape of the Italian broadcasting tower becomes relevant in order to progress with the final technology setup?
Yes. Hi, Arianna.
Hi.
Yeah, about the reallocation of 700 bandwidth. Yes. In principle, it's possible to do that with two different operations, three different operations. You know, the reallocation, you have to or upgrade or change your active equipment in order to fit the new standards. And this is absolutely, of course, possible alone. Of course, if there will be a unique operator, it could be perhaps more efficient. You can do some synergy during the reorganization process, during the installation of equipment, the new equipment, and so on. Yeah, this is.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Henrik Herbst from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about what's going on with your third-party revenues. I know they're up over the first 9 months, but if you look at it on a quarterly basis, it's basically flat. So underlying it's declining, given the Norba acquisition. So can you just talk a little bit about what's going on with the third-party revenues, please? Thank you.
On our third-party revenues, we are benefiting from the Norba deal, because this had clearly, let's say, non-organic impact on the overall performance that we report in the first 9 months. Looking at the quarterly figures, we should see a slight increase quarter on quarter. But excluding the impact of the Norba deal, that is approximately 0.7 million euros on our third party's revenues, we are more or less stable, or rather with a reduction of 0.2 million euros, where the reduction is coming from the MNOs that are continuing to do their efficiencies, but these are these efficiencies have, this reduction has been more or less offset by higher activities from the fixed wireless access player. There is also to consider, and this is probably the most important element, a non-recurring impact that we have in the third quarter. You have to consider that last year in the third quarter, the prior year adjustment were approximately 144,000, 0.2 million euro higher than the figures recorded this year. So this has to be neutralized when you look at the quarterly figures.
Okay, thanks. So you're so when you're talking about MNO efficiencies, what does that actually mean? Is that Wind Hutch taking down equipment, or what do you mean when you what do you mean with that, please?
Efficiencies means that they have a lot of pressure in order to optimize their cost basis. Of course, we are an important supplier of the MNOs, and so as a result of this, they are trying to do optimization in the number of sites, and this is mainly the trend that we are trying to offset with, very attractive proposal in terms of pricing for new sites.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you to all of you for attending the call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.